sing praises to your name. Thank you enough, our King and our God, for the joy of seeing another year. We do not qualify for it, but you made it possible for us to receive our praise. For all the great testimonies of the year that just ended, we thank you. For the glory of the year we have stepped into, for the assurance that we have, for the strength that you have given to us to run the race, receive our praise. Thank you, Almighty Father. In Jesus' wonderful name. And all the saints of God shout aloud, Amen. Thank you, Almighty Father. Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's my prayer that you'll be blessed again this year. To the glory of God, everybody who sees me, sees Bishop Oyedepo. I don't know how you feel about that, but I'm not ashamed of it. Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me before men, I will also be ashamed of you before my Father. It's what a man sows that he will reap. It shows in my life. It reflects in everything that I do. My wife and I are clear beneficiaries of these great blessings. And we don't hide it. We identify with the grace of God upon the servant of God. And it is manifesting. Praise God. Somebody met me on the Monday of Shiloh 2007. He said he traveled all the way from Canada. We flew on the same plane, and when we got to Lagos, he said to me, I've been looking for Bishop Oyedepo, but now that I've seen you, I'm satisfied. I said, why not? What can I do for you? And the deed was done. Praise God. This year, you will carry the same grace. This year, you will carry the same grace. It is your identification that determines your glory. If my wife is not identified with me, she can't enjoy the blessing. So when they mention my name, she stands up. So the blessing that comes, she enjoys. Please don't mistake colleagues for fathers. In relationship with your colleagues, opinion is what you share. In your relationship with your father, instruction is what you take. Because your colleague can't do for you what your father will do for you. Your colleague has his program, but your father's program is you. No one ever invests in your life like your father. Never mistake a colleague for a father. You may have many colleagues that you interact with, that you share opinions with, but don't toy with the instruction of your father. Don't. A wise son will patiently wait for the opinion and the view of his father before he takes any step. My wife and I don't do any major thing in our lives without the input and the approval of our parents in the Lord. No. When they say slow down, we slow down. Because they can see farther than we can see. Never mistake a colleague's opinion for a father's instruction. You heard that doctor this morning shared his testimony. He said, I came and I brought the proposal. And he said, go and come back. And he said, what are the plans you have to get this thing done? And things began to happen. Things began to happen. Nothing good will cease to happen in your life. It's a hard way, especially in this generation that is full of self, self-sufficiency, self-efficiency. What is it that I cannot do by myself? I'm a man of myself. Why not? When Saul became a man of himself, Samuel withdrew. And at the withdrawal of Samuel, the kingdom crashed. All your life, no matter how old you grow, no matter how spiritual you become, you will always need somebody as a father. Always. If Bishop Oyedepo can be talking of a father in Pastor Adeboye, I mean, I'm talking about, I have heard him talk about this so many times last year, and he's still talking about it now. Very, very proud of it. Let's stay connected in order for us to collect what belongs to us. This year, you will not miss your blessing. Fathers are covers. Fathers are feathers with which you fly. Fathers are lifters. They are the lift you climb up. Fathers are visions. They help you to see into the future where you can see. Never mistake the opinion of a colleague for an instruction of a father. Never. Never. A man's instructions you can't take. Forget about saying amen to his prayer. It won't work. So seek the instructions rather than claiming the blessing. Seek the instructions rather than claiming the blessing. God is a good God. Isaiah chapter 40. Come with me quickly. Is somebody excited to see this new year? Something great is about to burst forth for you. Your life will not be the same again. Isaiah chapter 40. This morning, I want to share with you on what I titled Engaging the Practices of Eagle. Engaging what? The practices of eagle. God uses physical and natural things to communicate divine lessons. God uses physical and natural things to convey divine lessons. So, because of our limitation in understanding, God always uses animate things around us to explain to us divine will and plan. When Jesus came, he was constantly using physical things, animate things, reachable things to teach people lessons. If prophetically we have been declared to be riding on eagle's wings this year, then we need to know a bit more about the eagle and take illustrations that points to what we should be. Now, illustration is about helping us to understand. Illustration helps us to have a clearer picture of an issue or a subject of discussion. So the eagle is a bird that is used to illustrate the plan of God for us in the year 2008. On Sunday, we talked about the way of the eagle. How does the eagle succeed to excel? And now we want to look at certain practices of eagles. So that we can engage in such practices in order to become what God wants us to be. Because what you practice determines what you produce. What you practice determines what you become in the ultimate. Common practice produces common results. Unique practices, peculiar practices, produces peculiar results. It is commonly said that practice makes perfect. So perfection in life results from practices or principles. Perfection in life results from practices or principles. It is exercise that leads to excellence. If you must excel in an area of life, then you must give yourself to the demanded exercise in that area. Skillfulness is what leads to mastery. So, the more skillful you are, the more you master your endeavors in life. And like you know from scriptures and from, you know, animal science, that the eagle is born as an eaglet, but has to engage in certain practices to become an eagle. The potential is there, but we never become real without the practices. There are many things you can do that you don't know you can do until you begin to practice it. Isaiah chapter 40, for reason of time limitation, I will read verse 31 only. You can read the three verses before then at your time. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So, with God, there is renewal. You don't stay with God and waste. You stay with God to renew. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And to prove the renewal of that strength, they shall mount up with wings. As what? As eagles. So, what the eagle does is to stay on the mountain in order to mount up with wings. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So by this lesson, we are learning how not to be weary in our running for this year and how not to faint in our walk this year. This is very important. It is possible not to faint. It is possible not to be weary. I tell you, I repeat that again. It is possible not to be weary. Others may be weary, but not you. It is possible not to faint. Others may faint, but not you. Oh, I thought I had your amen. It is quite possible not to have a break. It is quite possible not to break down. It is quite possible not to fall the way others fall. It is quite possible to keep flying. Hallelujah. It's quite possible for you not to be grounded any season of the year. All through this year, your flight shall be maintained. I thought I'm hearing a flight, amen. Is somebody saying a flying amen? Now, I will quickly show to us two of these practices, one in brief, and then we emphasize much the second one. Every eagle is solitary in nature and in practice. So, number one practice of the eagle is the practice of solitude. 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 Every eagle seeks solitary moment. Eagles are not common birds to find. Why? Eagles like to stay alone. Those who will matter in the public must first learn the mystery of withdrawal, retreat. You cannot move around town and matter in town. It is noted that among birds, you don't easily locate the nest of an eagle. They are not common to find. Uncommon public result is produced in uncommon secret places. Jesus Christ, the greatest eagle, had this practice, always withdrawing to the desert, withdrawing to the mountain. His popular place of abode is Mount Olives, the mountain of oil. And by animal science lesson, we understand that among other things that the eagle does when it stays on the mountain, is to allow the feathers, the old feathers to fall off and allow new oil to flow through the locations of where those feathers fell before new feathers will grow out. So Jesus, the greatest eagle, goes to Mount Olives to contact new oil. John chapter 8 verse 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. And by the time he came down, things began to happen. In Matthew chapter 15 verse 29. And Jesus went to the mountain and sat down there. You need to locate a mountain where to sit. Now, when I say mountain, I don't mean you should go and locate a physical mountain. If you think it is necessary, why not? But not mandatory. Solitary moment. Solitary moment. In Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 37, Jesus went up, taking his disciples with him, Peter, James, and John, to the mountain. And there was a transfiguration. And if you check other eagles in the scriptures, think of Elijah, another eagle, always on the mountain. In 1 Kings chapter 19, he was there on the mountain. And there, the presence of the Lord passed in a wind, in a thunder, in an earthquake, and in a still small voice. The practice of quietness is very much fundamental in your ability to take an eagle's flight. Think about Eagle Moses. Exodus chapter 34. The Lord said to him, come on again to the mountain. Verses 1 to 3. And there the Lord began to appear to him. And in the later part of that chapter, the Bible says that while Moses was before God, he never knew that the countenance of his face has been altered. Quietness. Quietness. If you check all these scriptures and all these references, you will discover that these men mattered in the public. But before then, they were withdrawn from the public. Withdrawn. Not in isolation. Please take note, I'm not talking about you being isolated. I'm talking about you being separated. You're taking time off to be alone with God and with yourself. To be alone with God and with yourself. To be alone with God and with yourself until God gets your attention in the private, you cannot gain attention in the public. I'd like to repeat that again. Until God gets your attention in the private, you cannot gain attention in the open. So at this season of the year beginning, I'd like to encourage you to get some time off. Get some time off before the days will get busier and stand before the Lord in quiet moment. And somebody, I can hear somebody saying, well, I will resume work tomorrow. Everything will become busy again. The question is, what do you do with your night season? The night is there. The most private time of the day. Somebody says, but I walk all through the day, I will feel tired. That's why discipline is required. You need to discipline yourself. You see, until you do what is inconvenient, you cannot become a star. Stardom is born out of inconvenience. Inconvenience is the crucible where giants are made. Inconvenience is the hot plate where excelling people thrive. Don't give any excuse if you don't want to be excluded. It is excuse that excludes people from their blessing. Take time off quiet moment before the Lord. Now, why do you need quietness? Please listen to this. In moments of quietness, we experience renewal. In moments of quietness, we gain assurance. Now, see, every time I'm confronted with major issues, just give me 30 minutes of staying alone. And in quietness, my spirit is renewed. My soul is assured. Satan knows what you will gain in your moment of quietness. That's why he keeps you busy from one place to another. The moment you sit down, he reminds you of the pot in the kitchen. He reminds you of the baby's nappy that should be washed. He reminds you of the water heater that is on. And he won't let you remember everything at once. As you stand up to go and put off the water heater and sit down, he said, now kitchen. You stand up again, kitchen. After kitchen, now bedroom. Because he knows if you can gain concentration for a few minutes, you are done. So what we do in a moment of quietness is not necessarily praying. Sometimes you just need to sit down. Just sit down and watch life. Not in anxiety, but in quietness of your spirit. Because according to scriptures, in quietness shall be your strength. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. All of you professionals, you need a moment of quietness to get inspiration. To be creative. Creativity does not occur in the open. It occurs when people are in some quiet moment. And the secret was revealed unto Daniel in the night season. In the quiet season. David said, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins also shall instruct me in the night season. Psalm 16, verse 8. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. So moment of quietness is moment of renewal. Isaiah 40, 31, and they that way that are quiet before the Lord shall renew their strength. And they will gain strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. So moment of quietness is a moment of renewal. It is an upsurge of assurance. When you are doubtful over an issue, get a quiet moment to yourself. And in that quietness, you'll begin to get a clear picture of what to do with your life. This is one of my greatest treasures. My wife knows I love to have quietness. And she does her best to give that to me. Our children knows I love, sometimes I just like to be quiet. You may not hear my voice praying, but in my quiet moment, I'm getting renewed. Things become clearer to you in your quiet moment. Remember, because Satan knows what to do, he will keep you busy. He will make you remember that they need you in Taraba State. Taraba. He will remind you that they need you in Bayelsa State. 2nd of January, no plan, nothing. They say, where are you? Say, Bayelsa State. And you get there, they say, governor has traveled. And from there again, they say, where else? I'm going to Enugu State. The governor is my friend. Prophets of old don't go around. If you check the scriptures very well, in their time, they stay in the outskirts of the city. They stay in the outskirts of the city. Be still and know that I'm God. Psalm 46 verse 10. Moments of quietness affords you refocusing and realigning. It's a moment of refocusing, realigning. Realign. That's what the ego does. It waits on the mountain. Just waiting. They that wait. Now, one of the most difficult things to do in life is to wait. The natural man is prone to movement. Inside the blood of the natural man is to be moving. Moving up and down. Which is the ministry of Satan. God sat down. He said, Satan, stop this movement. Stop first. Where are you coming from? He said, then he reminded God of his mission. Don't you know my mission is to and fro. To and fro ministry international. Tell your neighbor, sit down. This is very important. He It is as you are trying to sit down, somebody the son said that you are reminded that you need to be somebody whose wife delivered the child, and then you remember to, you need to do something like, and then you remember to make some calls. When Satan knows you are about hitting that moment, then you are on the phone the next 1 hour, and after 1 hour, all your energy is gone. The next thing is to sleep. That is a major practice of the ego. Waiting. Waiting. The greatest, one of the greatest things to do in life, most difficult thing to do in life, is to wait. The natural man is always on the move. But your waiting is your renewal. Your waiting is a fountain of your strength. If you can't wait, you will waste. You will waste in the race. If you can't wait on God, you will waste among men. I know what I'm talking about. I've learned this lesson over the years. It has worked tremendously for me. I stay in quietness to renew my strength, to reassure my soul. And when I come out of the quietness, I begin to glow and move with uncommon strength. If you don't learn to be alone with God, men will confuse you in the public. They will intimidate you. If I don't know this God, too many people will have intimidated me. But when I look at you, I just smile, because where I am coming from, I have seen somebody bigger. You can't confuse me. That's why, with due respect, I keep saying over and over again, this church, everybody is important, and in this church, everybody is unimportant. So I say, how can I say we are not important? That's the truth. I've said you are important, yet you are not important. Important as a respectable child of God, honorable, committed, zealous, but unimportant, because if you are not there, God will still be doing his work. So I say, that's what I don't like about this church. They don't recognize people. God didn't bring you here for recognition. He brought you here to be blessed. If it's recognition you are looking for, go to where they give recognition. If it's blessing you are looking for, stay here. God didn't call you to recognize you. He called you to bless you. Did somebody hear me at all? When Jesus called Peter, what did he say? He said, come, follow me and I will make you. He didn't say, come and I will recognize you. God didn't call you to be recognized. Yeah, again, no. God didn't call you to recognize you. Nobody will recognize you. God called you to bless you. Hallelujah. Quickly, number two practice of the ego is planning. Planning. The ego is a planner board. How do I know that? Because it is a thorough board. It's a board that believes in thoroughness. You see, the more thorough you are, the earlier you become true with the affairs of life. It is thoroughness that leads to breakthroughs. Planning. Those who plan become thorough in their affairs. That's why you find them sweat-free, stressless. No matter what happens, they are smiling because he has his plan. He has his game plan. Those who plan don't fear. The eagle comes on the mountain planning for the next flight. I know, in the world of aviation, no pilot ever takes on a flight without what they call flight plan. The flight plan must be in place. So this year, if you want to fly, you have to plan. It's a major prerequisite for flying. Planning is a major prerequisite for flying. I want to beg all of you seated here, in addition to your solitary moment, or in the moment of your solitary moment, take time to plan. Take time to do what? Plan. Plan your finances. Plan your business. Plan your investment. Plan for your children. Plan for your wife. Plan for your kitchen as a wife. To beat the waste that used to bring fight between you and your husband. Plan your children's school fees. To avoid apprehension. Plan where to put your children. To avoid the breakdown of your health. By the time you carry cement that is bigger than your chest, you have to be breathing. Plan. Planning and prayer works together. You heard what that doctor said? He said, when I brought my paper to the bishop, he asked me, how do you want to get the money? Very simple. I can't be praying useless prayer for you. I don't want to be seen as a magician. Unfortunately, many, many people today keep looking for who will pray for them because they are lazy. They won't walk. Very lazy. There are many very lazy believers who are looking for prayer contractors. There are many believers today who have employed prayer contractors, prayer saints, people who pray for them. Any small problem, okay? Something they happen, hot prayer, start now. I think you are fasting. We are start now. I'll be eating, you'll be fasting, I'll be paying you. You are wasting your energy. I beg God not to allow me to rear children. I want to raise sons. I don't know whether Pastor Lori was with me. Somebody called me a few days ago. He says, excuse me. I said, what's the matter? He said, I'd like you to pray for me. I said, for what? He said, I want to buy a land. I want you to pray. I want you to pray whether God will give me go ahead. I said, are you a member of the church? He said, yes. How long have you been in church? He said, 10 years. I said, shut up. Go and undo that yourself. After 10 years, if you don't know how to discern what to do. Oh, yeah. So from being a pastor, I became a captain. Because in the journey of life, you don't keep petting people. I want to see sons raised. I want to see people are matured. People who will be saying, I heard this word and I did this and this is what resulted. Not that they lay hands on me and then my body, something shiver in my body like this. For how long will you shiver? Like a baby under fever. Some years back, somebody came to me and said, lay hands on me. I said, for what? He said, I'm sick. I said, you are still sick at this age in this church? Oh yeah, clear off. As I said, clear off, the sickness shook from his body and clear off. Now, I'd like you to, please, if you read from Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 11, the way of the eagle. He said, the mother eagle fluttereth the nest. If you know how the mother eagle treats the eaglet to fly it, when the eaglet is comfortable seated, enjoying the nest, then gradually the mother eagle will be removing the stick of the nest gradually. The comfort zone is being removed. What kind of mother is this? Does this mother care for me? Gradually being removed. That's part of the training you need to go through. They need to be withdrawn. Sometimes you need to cry. When your eyes are clear, you know what to do. They need to leave you to cry. You see, I was crying. Nobody cared for me. Nobody greeted me. What are they greeting you for? At that age, everybody is busy. You clear the tears of your eyes and move forward. And after removing the elements of the nest and the eaglets refuse to move, then the mother eagle will start scattering it. And when it moves to move, you say, well, I climb my back. Thinking that the mother eagle wants to help it. And then they go on the flight. And when they get into the high sky, the mother eagle just slipped off. And then the eagle start crying. Wicked mother, you want to kill me? And then it goes on there. He said, let me relieve you a while. But I will still do it again. We don't have time to talk about that. It's area of training. You need to be trained. You need to be trained. Because if you are not trained, you cannot be traced. If you are not trained, you cannot be trusted. You need to find out from God what training he gave to me to trust me. You need to find out what training my wife went through. Some think of the glamour of being married to a man of God. You need to know the sufferings, the punishment. I've given my wife several punishments, not deliberate, but by reason of assignment and movement and things that we have to do. And yet complying with the punishment, in quote. Now we're talking about planning. Your planning, I'd like you to quickly take note of these few virtues of planning. Your planning determines your spanning. You cannot span beyond your plan. Your planning determines your spread. You can never spread before your plan. You see, the reason we are limited is not because the devil is standing on the way, it's because we are limited in our plan. Planning is laying pipe for results to flow. The result is that it cannot flow beyond your planning. Planning is networking for effect. Planning is putting things in view. You see, through planning, you can see your future today. Planners are never blind. Planners always see ahead. And because they see ahead, they are motivated to move ahead.
Learning is preparation. It is the authentic proof of expectation. What you don't plan for, you can't expect. Plan. Plan. If you want to fly, plan. Planning is appraisal of results. This is where we were last year. Did we do well? And then you quickly advise yourself on how stupid you were last year, how wasteful you were last year, how much you squandered your resources last year, the things you ought not to do that you did, the offices you needed not to rent that you rented, the car you needed not to buy that you bought. You'll be scolding yourself through self-appraisal, self-examination. You'll be tormenting your mind and tell your mind be wiser next year. Opportunities that you squandered for lack of planning. Allowances that you spend to buy coat, to buy shoe, where you will have invested. Lands and houses you will have bought. But because you want to impress people around you and make them feel that you are a good guy, people are stupid. They look for the money they don't have to buy the things they don't need to impress the people that don't like them. Because when people don't like you, no matter what you buy, no matter what you are, they will say, yeah, he thinks we are going to clap for him. Look at him. Look at him. He's coming out again. No? Just watch him. Yeah, man. Trying to impress people who don't like you, who have vowed not to like you. Plan. Tell your neighbor, plan. The dresses you bought that you don't need, the bangle you bought you don't need, the wristwatch you bought you didn't need it. Plan. Check your life. One common saying among pilots is that you check, you cross-check, and you double-check. That's what planning is about. You are checking. Where was I? Where can I be? Where do I ought to be? You are checking, you are cross-checking, and double-checking. So they go through the various buttons again. One will be calling it for the other. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And then after the first run, another run, you check, you cross-check, and you double-check. That is what planning is all about. Through planning, you maintain focus. You ponder on your way. Proverbs 4:26. Ponder on your path. Ponder, ponder, ponder. Ponder. Through wisdom is a house built, by understanding is established, and by knowledge the chambers thereof are filled with pleasant riches. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself. Self-examination is part of the processes of planning. Self-examination rooted in self-appraisal. Look, nobody can appraise you better than you. Because nobody can tell you the truth better than yourself. Nobody can slap you like yourself. Nobody can knock your head like yourself. Tell yourself, stupid boy, is this the best you could have done? Behave. Do better. I speak to myself over and over again like that. The things I'm telling you are the things I put myself under. Under intense pressure. I put under very intense pressure. Husband and wives. Plan. Let the wife be reminding the husband of the project when he goes to buy something new. My dear, don't forget that thing you mentioned though. You know, you said we are going to build this year. Be reminding him when he wants to spend the next 200,000 naira to buy cloth. My dear, that household, you know, we are not going to pay rent again this year. Be reminding him. Don't let him rest. And if he gives you money to do something that is not necessary, keep the money. And one day show to him, this is the money, oh, this is what I have saved from the things you asked me to spend. This is it. Let's buy land with it. Let's buy land with it. Let's build with it. But there, don't just have him enjoying my husband. By the time landlord throw you out, you will decide whether to stay with him or go to your father's house. Praise God. Is somebody there? Is somebody there? I don't have a problem with money, but yesterday I paid my children's school fees. and all that are connected to me whose school fees should be paid. Plan, they are all planning. Don't say, well, when they are ready to resume. I know their time of resumption. It is stress-free for me to plan so that there are people meandering all around who are looking for what to eat and drink from you. If you don't plan, there are ready eaters around you. Ready. Who will come and spend with you as Jaye Jaye boy. Who may end up as Jia Jia boy. Hallelujah. As we close, what does it take to plan? Again, it takes privacy, which is the first thing we talked about. Two, it takes sitting. Sitting down. Sitting position is planning position. Luke 14:28. Who among you want to take a flight? Who among you want to take a flight? To build a tower means to get a flight into the sky. Who will not first sit down? And think. Sit down. Tell your neighbor, sit down. Perhaps you have heard me humorously said that when you fail in the school system, they don't tell you you failed. They politely tell you that you need to resit. Eh? How many of you have heard what I'm talking about before? They make the list of those who are to resit. They have simply told you politely that you failed. And the meaning of resit means at the first time you didn't sit well. Eh? So they tell you resit. That is this time around. Don't sit down with one buttock. Sit with your two buttocks. Sit tight in order to fly high. Sit tight. Don't let anything get you up running around. Sit tight. So planning entails separation, withdrawal, for appraisal, and then number two, sitting down. And number three, thinking. You give yourself to thinking. What does it mean to think? It means to weigh issues in your mind. Weighing issues of life. That's thinking. It's not anxiety. It's not apprehension. But weighing the issues. So it's placing issues before you in a balance. You know balance. That you use to weigh things. So your mind is that balance. Because your mind is the central theme of your life. You weigh issues before you come out with a decision. Issues that weighs and those that do not weigh. Those that outweigh the other. Through your thinking, you are able to discern what to do. Through your thinking, you are able to separate the chaff from the substance. Through your thinking, you are able to set your priorities. What should be done now? What should be deferred till later? Through your thinking, you are able to determine what kind of car to buy now in order for you not to trek tomorrow. I used to tell you, if you have 4 million, don't spend 4 million to buy a car. Buy a car of 1.5 million and put the money elsewhere. And in any case, you need to prepare in case with the car they brought for you, the tire was managed, the battery was managed, the gearbox was managed. If it breaks down, how will you repair it? Thinking. And then number four, in planning, you need to be writing. Write. What thou seest, write. Write. The pen on paper is like fire in your soul. Everything you write gets you committed. One thing I've observed is that every writer is a mover. What you don't write, you don't get committed to. Once you write it, you get committed to it. Every writer is a committed mover. And may I say this before we rise to pray? For your planning to be effective, you need facts. You need information. And that's why also, in your planning, you have to be a reader. And an observer. You need to observe others. You need to read from others. You need to get acquainted with relevant and current and qualitative materials. Relevant to what you are looking for. Current, that is up to date, not old information. And of course, you need to get it in large quantity. You need to get massive knowledge, massive information, massive facts. So that when you feed on them, you become fat. massive information. You are dealing in any particular area of business, you need to go for information about that. Ask questions from people. Read all the readables. The Lord said to me some time ago, he said, you must learn to be spiritually buoyant and mentally literate. Spiritually buoyant and mentally literate. Because some people are spiritually buoyant. They can pray in tongues. But they are illiterate mentally. They don't have an idea. It's empty tongues. Some others are literate mentally, but they don't have the spiritual virtue to drive what they have. The two of them must go together. One, you know what to do. Two, you need spiritual energy. It is after that you can now engage in prayer and fasting to push forward what you have discovered. Be spiritually buoyant and mentally literate. You are there in the spirit, connecting with God, but you are here educating your mind, firing your soul to make it relevant to your world. You are making it. Let's rise. Please don't play the joker with your life. Don't do playboy around town. Don't. If you need to have some fasting to what you're doing, go and start fasting 2 or 3 days. Get yourself shut down. Move forward. Stay alone with God. This business, this work, like it's not moving forward. We must sort it out. And as you are hooking on in the spirit, you are connecting mentally and things are working. Hallelujah. Woo! You are moving forward. Lift up your hand as it were, ready to fly. Glory to God forevermore. Will you begin to declare your flight right now? Declare your flight right now. Declare your flight right now. Hallelujah. In Jesus' precious name, it is well with your soul. Have you been blessed again today? Shall we raise our hand and give God quality thanks and praise one more time?